Wolf Girl is the unlikeliest of dramas for a new year. It actually combines fictional werewolves and echoes of real Idaho wolves. Playwright Heidi Cray is one of two Boise writers in residence, and her play is coming to the Danny Peterson Theater at the Morrison Center in Boise next month. She sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, to talk about monsters and myths and metaphors. Let's take a listen.
When I read a blurb, if you will, about Wolf Girl, and I'm going to share a couple of lines here for our listeners. Tired of feeling like a misfit, Maddie runs away from her hometown bullies and joins up with a wolf pack. The longer she stays, the more she identifies with her new family, becoming a wolf at ease in her skin for the first time. You workshop this, right, at Cyril's Place?
And I did at Cyril's Place and then also at Boise Contemporary Theater.
Yes,
they have a children's reading series. Yeah.
Yeah. So how old is Maddie, by the way, first of all?
She's 14. And in a way, she feels like a young 14, which is how I felt when I was 14. And I don't know, I seem to meet teenagers that seem so much less awkward than I was at that time. So I may envision her a little bit younger than some others.
So is it for a YA audience and older?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and TYA, Theater for Young Audiences, can mean a lot of different things. And so This is most especially for the, let's say, 13 and up or middle school and up ages. And I think that some younger audiences than that could enjoy it, but it also does get into some tough territory.
Are you deconstructing the werewolf legend?
That's right. I think of it as reconstructing it in a way, trying to look at it in a way that isn't looking at werewolves as these monsters or wolves as these monsters even, or kind of taking another look at how we look at monsters, which is what I like to do a lot in my plays anyway. And so what happens if the first werewolf perhaps, or one of the first werewolves is a teenage girl instead of or a 20-year-old man, and it's not terrorizing areas, but it actually becomes a being, a conduit that can help heal the divide between humans and wolves.
So talk to me about this process of workshopping this and then doing the staged reading. What did you learn about your story when you started sharing it?
Yeah, I mean, even in the writing process at Cyril's Place, I was in their more new daytime residencies that started up during the pandemic. And I really learned what the play was from the ground up. I knew I wanted to look at this werewolf story in a different way. I'd had kind of the image of it in the back of my brain, but I really had no idea how it was going to turn out. I wanted to see what happens when a girl starts going through this transformation process. And I really love transformation stories from Ovid and all beyond, and how we can really learn about ourselves through how we might transform into a different being. And so one of the things I was doing in that process was both just, I mean, really looking at the heroine's journey actually as a story construct versus the hero's journey, which is a little bit more, the heroine's journey is a little bit more about how the group works together, which is a lot about how wolves work together, and humans too, to find some kind of common ground. And a lot of the play is becoming and became about how we find common ground and how we find healing and hope through some kind of belonging in our skin by becoming a different skin, by having a different skin, in this case, wolfish skin. And so looking it into a lot of research of wolves, and I've been a wolf lover since a very, very young person. I was a wolf girl myself. And so this chance of really digging into this story was a lot of looking into what it was like as a young teenage person myself that didn't feel like I fit in, and what it was like falling in love with wolves as a species, and what they might feel like as beings that don't necessarily feel like they fit in if we were to look at them from a human perspective.
Wow.
And then having the chance to share it a bit in the little limited way that we did at Searle's Place was really enlightening. I just found the joy of the story beyond the intensity, especially in some of the key characters. And the same thing in the staged reading of it, just seeing how physical it is as a story.
Wow, I've got a million questions.
Great.
I now know, by being a wolf girl yourself, this play is a product of that. I can't help but think that more than a few people in the audience will share that experience or maybe even that memory.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we put that? Where do wolf girls go in 2024?
Wow, what an amazing, amazing question. Maybe that's something I'm asking myself as I look at this play in this time frame, especially in this state, in this city, where it seems like all about the divides that we have, right? And mm-hmm. the us and them, and everything that's happening with wolves right now in the state. I guess I hope the wolf girls in the audience, or the people who might love creatures that might not have a bright future if we don't change something, they might start asking questions about how they might step in as well, or what they can do from their own perspective. I'm a writer, I'm a playwright, and I'm not in the woods in the same way as a lot of environmentalists or conservationists that might be there to really do the groundwork, and they're doing so much of that incredible work and facing a lot of intense obstacles along the way. But I think there are so many different ways to show our care and to show our love for this world, and in the different ways that we can. And I think a lot of this play to me is about how we can find hope and healing as a human species by paying attention to nature and learning to love it. And some of the amazing work that I've already seen from the designers that are bringing in their just incredible artistry, they're trying to bring nature into this space, this very non-natural theater space. Mm-hmm. And also I think that we often think about ourselves as humans as being apart from nature, when we're actually just as much maybe animals or just as much natural beings as anybody else, as any other creature. So how can we take care of ourselves better by being out in nature, or bringing nature and the love of it into the space? So I'm not sure if I'm answering any of your questions there.
Of course you are. Of course you are. talk to me, without giving away any secrets, though, talk to me about the stagecraft of this, because I would imagine there's 1,000 obvious, tangible possibilities of putting this on a stage. But how much of this is in my imagination as an audience member?
Yeah, I think that's such a key question. And some of the work that true artists involved, like Mike Baltzell and Christine Harwood as scenic and costume designers, are bringing in, mm-hmm. is how do we look at this world that can bridge between really three different worlds, is how we're looking at it, and how Tierra Thompson, the director, is also talking about it. There's the human world, and we don't actually spend very much time in the human world. There's wolf country, or the wild world. And then there's kind of this ancient origin world, because a lot of the play also takes place in the storytelling of this as perhaps the first werewolf story, or once upon a time even comes in. I think it's the first line that there's a wolf chorus in a way, as you as a theater lover can appreciate, that might look into ways that either Greek or other kinds of ancient theater practices might bring in.
Yeah.
And so I think that what some of these artists are envisioning is how do we bring this mythic world to the forefront so that a lot of, just like in all of those myths, a lot of that can happen inside our own consciousness. And it's less about trying to be this realistic world at all, because I don't work a lot in realism anyway.
My guess is you have thought about this inside out, this urban rural divide, mm-hmm. this politicization of wolves in general, depredation aside, they are demonized. And so is that in the subtext here as well?
Absolutely. And yes, I mean, this is something I've been thinking about since I was a kid. And they've been demonized for so much longer than that, since very, very ancient days. It's so, I don't want to say easy, but it is. It's easy to have a scapegoat. And they've been one of the key figures in that, creating these big bad wolves and often a lot of stories and myths about these creatures that that often weren't to blame for many of the things that they're being blamed for. And I think that this is so true for wolves in particular, but also it's true about so many beings and things in a universal way. So you can see this straight on as, how do we look at this environmental story? But you can also look at it in a way that, if you've ever felt like someone who's been bullied, as Maddie is, or if you've ever been in any kind of group that was ripped apart a little bit.
Obviously, we're going to have more than a few parents who are listening to us right now.
Yeah.
This is about opening doors, right? This is about opening windows and exploration and discovery, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really hope so. And also about the curiosity that's possible and how much that we have in common with these creatures. I mean, from very indigenous days and just a lot of the way that many naturalists look at wolves, we can see a lot more in common between human beings and wolves than we might even see with monkeys or apes. And I think that's so fascinating, just in the way that they take care of each other as families, and the way that they work together, the way that they handle stress even, and the way that they communicate in so many millions of ways. So my hope is really to look at the beauty of these creatures, but also to see how we have a lot of beauty as humans too. And we can listen in between those. We can listen in between those differences and hopefully find a connection across those differences.
So let's see, you have an opening on February 8th, and you mm-hmm. have performances running through February 17th, including a mm-hmm. few matinees. Where are you on the excitement level?
Through the roof on excitement. Yeah. I think that nervous is a part of the game always, but I feel so much trust for my team I've got, and just so grateful for just this opportunity to share this story in a way that we might not have seen it before, and I definitely haven't seen it before, just to see it in its full capacity in many ways.
How long has this been in the pipeline to get onto the stage at Danny Peterson?
Oh, I mean, it's not an old play for me. It's a newer play. So
how did all this happen?
Oh, great. Yeah, well, I've been in conversation with Darren Pouffal Purdy for mm-hmm. a few years. He is the director of theater now at the department, and so he's in charge of really getting the committee of people who are in charge of deciding the season. And so really, since I started working there as an adjunct professor early on in that time, maybe 5-ish years ago, we started talking about getting some of my work up there. And it's taken some years really to figure out what of my work that sometimes has a lot of challenges for universities, what could be relevant and what could also be possible you know, I was a student at Boise State way back when, and I've always dreamed of having something on that stage in this way. So it's very, very exciting for me.
That was Heidi Cray, who wrote the play Wolf Girl, speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. The play begins February 8th at the Danny Peterson Theater at the Morrison Center in Boise. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.